600. There is an article today in the Colorado Observer by Valerie Richardson, and this is the headline: Gessler blasts Dems as he refers suspected illegal voters to prosecutors. As you know, they have passed a bill, same-day voter registration, and an entire all-mail-in ballot for the state of Colorado. That was our jewel, the crowning jewel of the 2013 Marxist revolution in the state of Colorado.
I want everybody's voices to be heard, unless they signed a petition against us. Sorry, right. I'm just having some fun with that. with very little ado, let's bring on Secretary of State Scott Gessler, the honey badger, the top rookie politician, according to 5280 magazine, even though the editors aren't real happy about that. Welcome.
Well, thanks very much for having me on.
So tell us what is going on with this. You referred a bunch of potentially illegal voters to prosecutors today. What's happening with that?
Well, this actually goes back to last year. And if you remember last year, we were doing checks against the federal database to find out who was and wasn't a non-citizen. And what we wanted to do was put together sort of a hearing process if someone was a non-citizen, if they came up on the federal database, to give them a chance to remove themselves or to be removed before the election. Well, there's all kinds of criticism about that and why we shouldn't prevent problems, and lots of claims of voter suppression and stuff like that, which was sort of absurd. Well, anyway, what we did is we sent out letters to these folks. And we got a lot of responses, but some we didn't get a response, and people voted. They voted. So what happened is they showed us Colorado proof of non-citizenship when they got their driver's license. And then they came up twice on the federal database as a non-citizen. Then we sent them letters, and then they voted. So there's a likelihood that they voted illegally as a non-citizen. We can't be absolutely sure because sometimes the federal database contains mistakes. I know that. Maybe a surprise to some people who think the federal government is infallible, but sometimes it contains a few mistakes. So what we did is we referred these folks over, these names, over to the district attorney throughout the state for them to investigate and, if necessary, prosecute.
Well, I think that's a step in the right direction. I mean, you're voting right is a very sacred right. When it is abused, when people are voting illegally, that's a problem, and I take that very personally. Because we have enough trouble in the United States without people stealing our voting rights. And so, Mr. Secretary, I appreciate you doing this. What do you think is going to happen?
Well, I think, the DAs are going to investigate this. And here's what I want to know. I want to know how many folks have done this illegally and who are being prosecuted. And if someone's not being prosecuted, I really want to know why, too. So if they say, look, I was misled by a voter registration drive and I thought I could vote, if they say that and the DA decides not to prosecute, well, we need to take action to make sure that voter registration drives are giving people the right information and that people are being educated so that this doesn't happen.
Well, isn't it when you sign your voter registration card, when you register to vote, isn't there a statement right there that says if you are not a citizen of the United States of America, it is a felony to vote in an election?
Sometimes it is. On the voter registration form itself, it says, are you a U.S. citizen? And we have had a lot of people who will check the box saying, no, I'm not a citizen. They fill out the form to register to vote and turn it in because they don't know better. And what I call it a see no evil, hear no evil culture that the left in particular has really sort of pushed upon us that, oh, my gosh, you can't talk about this stuff. You don't want to enforce the law. It's a terrible thing. Just be quiet and pretend there's no problem. And so I think my view is I think a lot of folks who vote, who register illegally are doing it because they don't know better. And I agree. They should be better educated. They should know what they're doing. But the fact of the matter is a lot of times they just don't.
Well, and that's if you're registered, that's one thing. But if you actually go vote, I'm sorry, but if you're living in this country and you know that you're not a citizen and you go vote, I'm not going to have a whole lot of sympathy for that. That's fraud.
Well, and that's why we turn these names over to prosecute. I'm on board with you. You gotta take action. But here's the deal. I would much rather, if I can, build a system where we prevent these problems from happening. Because once that vote's been cast, you can't retrieve it. So we need to build a system that prevents this from happening. And if that means, poking people and making sure they know what's going on and, doing whatever we need to make sure that they don't illegally vote before the election, I'd rather do that. And now I got, there's all kinds of criticism for this because that's what I wanted to do last cycle. Now this is the back end of it after the election, and we clearly have identified a problem and we're taking action, and people on the left still want to pretend there's no problem. But there is a problem, and we have to take action.
Well, they absolutely want to pretend that there isn't a problem, and that's for one simple reason. They are using the laws. They are circumventing the laws. And I'm going to say this, Scott, and you don't have to agree with it or not, but I'm going to say it. They use fraud to their advantage. The Democrat, the left do. I mean, that's why they do these things. And this same-day voter registration, this all-mail-in ballot, that is an invitation for voter mishaps, voter fraud, voter irregularities. That whole bill is an invitation to circumvent our voting system. Now, there was an amendment that was floated, I can't remember if it was in the House or the Senate, to put voter ID into this bill. And it was flat out rejected by the Democrats. The big question I have is, why? If you want everybody to vote, every legal person to vote, why not have voter ID? That would have solved a lot of problems.
Yeah, you know, my favorite story along those lines with photo ID is before the election, you know, since I'm the election official here in Colorado and it's a battleground state, there was a Mexican newspaper who interviewed me. And so the reporter, you know, he and I are talking, and he was sort of pushing me and criticizing me a bit on the whole photo ID, you know, with respect to Hispanic voters. And finally I told him, I said, look, all that I want in Colorado is to have a Mexican system. Because in Mexico, you have to have a photo ID, you have to have a voter identification, and it's biometric. They've got thumbprints as well, not just photo, but your thumbprint as well. And I said, so I'd be happy to have the Mexican system in Colorado. And he said to me, well, that's different. And I said, no, it's not. Hispanics in Mexico and Hispanics in Colorado are human beings, and it's a universal human aspiration to have fair and honest elections. So he didn't really like that response.
Yeah, I find that absolutely amazing. And, you know, the double standard is alive and well in the state of Colorado. And, you know, we've seen and we've heard stories all across the country going back to the last election of massive abuse of mail-in ballots, massive abuse, massive fraud. We've heard it. I don't know if anybody's has been able to prove that beyond a shadow of a doubt or not. But we've heard story after story after story. Well, okay. So now let's pass laws to make it easier to do that very thing in the state of Colorado. And I'm not accusing the Democrats of voter fraud. Oh, wait. Yes, I am. Because that's what they do.
Well, you know, I'll tell you something. So Colorado, in my view, we combined in this last legislative session that bill the two worst fraud-prone systems possible, same-day voter registration and mandatory mail ballots. And and one of the Democrats said, well, this is a historic bill. And my response was, no, it's not. Oregon did the exact same thing. They had all-mail and same-day voter registration. And what happened is a religious cult came in and basically took over a town through voter fraud on same-day voter registration. And so by popular initiative, they repealed at least that part of it. So there's only been one state in the country that's ever done what Colorado wants to do, and they had a disaster on their hands. And so so I guess the Democrats use that as their example and want to emulate it.
That sounds historic to me. Well, I mean, that's a great example of historic failure.
Yeah, Oregon repealed that portion of the law because it was a monumental failure. Mr.
Exactly.
Secretary, I'm going to ask if you can stay through the break.
Sure.
All right, we'll be right back.
We're back, Grassroots Radio, Colorado. Little Led Zeppelin, thank you. Good way to end our Friday. Or wait, be in the middle of our Friday. I'm getting confused. All I know, it's our Friday. And we have Secretary of State, the Honey Badger himself, 5280's most popular rookie, which I think people may have been a little bit confused about the rookie because you've been there for a couple of years now. Secretary Scott Gessler, welcome back.
Well, thanks again.
I love mentioning that story because it is amusing. If you're the editors of 5280 and you ask people for their favorite and then they answer you and then you actually have the wherewithal to go back on and complain about it, it's just look down your nose at your readers a little bit more. Thank you very much, 5280 editors.
Well, and just stomp all over their opinion. I mean, what a good way to lose a whole bunch of listeners.
I think it's great that
readers,
it's great that you're their favorite politician. I think it's a perfect opportunity right here on Grassroots Radio today to announce what you're going to do in this next election.
Well, let me talk about 5280 first. The funny thing about 5280 is I think, 5280 looks at me there. 5280 is like liberal and really hip, So for that reason, they don't like me because I'm conservative. On the other hand, they sort of like me because I'm a heck of a lot more fun than most politicians, and I'm willing to call it as I see it, and that's sort of refreshing, I think, for them. So I actually give them kudos for two reasons. One is, they printed me as the Reader's Choice for Rookie Politician of the Year, and that's right. I'm probably not that much of a rookie now. I've been here a whopping 2.5 years. But it shows you that their readers like me, and they were willing to print that. The other thing, actually, if you look in the paper one, they gave me a shout-out for a customer service all-star is what they called it. So it didn't show up on the online version. But they had an output from someone who was, happy that I had actually done a listening tour and gone out to get input on elections. And so 5280 gave me a shout-out on that. So I'm not complaining about 5280 right now. I may in the future.
No, hey, there is no such thing as bad press, especially when you're about to run a campaign. And I'm going to get right back to it. I'm circling it. I'm quote-unquote a journalist, I guess. Which campaign will you be running?
Okay, so I'm going to give you the party line here. So I've taken the necessary steps to run for a gubernatorial campaign, and I'm continuing to look at that very hard. I've suspended my Secretary of State race. I'm out talking to people and building support.
Well, I'll tell you what. One thing I do know is that you have taken a lot of shots as Secretary of State, and a lot of that is, stupid. Okay, but there's a reason, and this is something that I talk about on Grassroots Radio quite a bit. Secretary of State's office is a very important office simply because you are in charge of, guess what, voting. You are in charge of elections. So Secretary of States throughout the country that happen to have an R next to their name are all under attack by the left. It is an orchestrated effort. They'll find pretty much anything and everything they can to go after Secretary of States. They want to put in their operatives in that office so that, when something bad happens in a certain precinct, they can turn their blind eye to it.
Or like in Minnesota, they can keep recounting the votes until they get the actual number they want.
They can have cars, and this happened in Minnesota. They can have cars show up with a bunch of, wow, look at all these mail-in ballots I found, and we're going to keep counting them until all of a sudden what's-his-bucket wins the Senate race.
Let me give you guys my secret weapon. It won't be secret after I tell you. But so you want a little bit. Here's my secret weapon in all of this. Are you ready?
Yep.
So everyone focuses on the election side for the Secretary of State, but I have a business services side. So people who register businesses or file a lien or become a notary public, they all come to my office, to my website. Okay? And so here's the deal. I have over 500,000 active businesses in the state of Colorado every year who come to our website to transact business. And you know what? We give great customer service for them. I have 150,000 people a year who call in asking questions to our service center. We pick up the phone when they call, and we answer their questions. We've redesigned our website so people can actually go on there easily. We had 8.2 million transactions last calendar year, 9.7 million visits. And every one of those folks, I can't say everyone, but we provide great customer service. I cut my fees. I lowered some of them permanently, and I did temporary reductions for some of them as well. But we've cut fees. We produce great customer service. We operate efficiently, and we utilize technology. And when you say 500,000 businesses see how that works, 80,000 notaries public see that, 150,000 people who call in a year see that, and there's overlap, of course. 8.2 million transactions, that makes an impression on people. And so when you talk about, keeping government cost-effective and making it efficient, making it work, we actually do it at the Secretary of State's office. So all the election stuff, the press and the left wing, they obsess about that. But the nuts and bolts of government, the people who are sort of don't worry about all that noise but want to get their business done, they know Secretary of State's the place to come to.
Well, and Secretary, let me give you a huge pat on the back, because one of the things I've heard, and it's kind of amusing because both you and one of our advertisers, 88 Drive-In, both made 5280 magazine this month. It's kind of cool. But you've also worked through, I've heard through our executive producer, that you're actually out there on a listening tour talking to business owners and saying, hey, how can we make this easier? I haven't seen Governor Hickenlooper go out and ask people, hey, how can we make business easier in Colorado, except the big people who pay into his campaign?
Yeah. Well, he did that TBD, you know, to be determined.
With all and his union people? Yeah.
And apparently some people told him stuff, and I have no idea whatever happened to that. I think nothing happened from it.
Well, I know what happened to it. It got caught on top of the fence post, and it didn't fall either way, so it's right up his alley, because, as you know, he cannot decide which side of the fence he lands on.
He is a complete jellyfish.
But he serves a great beer.
he's absolutely worthless as a governor. I mean, he even with that the reprieve he gave that convicted murderer on the death penalty, I mean, he found a way that nobody would have ever thought of to split that right down the middle and, in fact, pissed off everybody.
And yeah, people really don't like Solomon's Baby. I'm sorry. They just don't.
Well, now you're going to get no argument with me. He is—he has not provided any leadership in the state.
Well, I know that he did one thing, and that is that he didn't do one thing. And this was actually a really good stand on his point. He did not veto a single bill, not one. Every single bit of the radical Marxist agenda that the 2013 Democrats pounded through the state of Colorado, he signed every bill. Then he has the gall to go to Grand Junction and say, well, I have to sign a lot of crappy bills. Really?
The key word there is have. Have to sign. He doesn't have to sign anything, but he would have to take a stand in order to veto something.
I guess Michael Bloomberg was not available for comment that day, so he went ahead and signed him anyway. Or, you know, you never know. Maybe Bloomberg was getting ready to write him a big old fat check, and so that's why he signed them all. So, Scott?
Are you guys asking me a question
now? No,
I don't know. I was
just having fun.
Comment.
Sometimes just having we just fun. Get on a roll and have fun because it's such an easy target. I mean, it's not exactly like, you know, finding a needle in a haystack is going after the lack of spine of most Democrats and some Republican lawmakers.
Well, what's unfortunate is, you know, when he ran for office, he sort of declared himself a moderate, that he was going to govern from the middle and all that stuff. And basically what he's done is he's been a sort of a partisan rubber stamp for a partisan legislature. And I know most recently he said there's no way he's running for U.S. president, although it's very clear he was interested in that for a long time. And I think what we saw in this legislative session, if he were to be running, and I'm guessing that's still in the back of his mind, you know, if you say, okay, well, what do I need to do to run in a Democratic primary for, you know, voters outside of Colorado for president? Well, gun control, check. You know, driving up the cost of electricity in rural America, but, you know, calling it renewable energy stuff, check. Got that. You know, more liability for small businesses so that I can appease, you know, trialers, check. Got that. And you just sort of go down the list, you know, anti-death penalty, check. Got that. You know, and after a while, he was like, well, you know, he's sort of done each one of these things so that he's got his credentials. And I don't think he's really governing from the middle, certainly like he said he would. I mean, he misled, I think, the electorate when he said that stuff, and he's not carried through on those promises.
No, he hasn't. And you know what? He needs a great opponent. I encourage you to throw your hat in the ring. I think you'd be a great candidate. I'm not endorsing anybody, but I really, really like you as a candidate. There's no question about that. I've seen you speak personally multiple times. We've had a chance to talk. You know what? The Honey Badger has his nickname for a reason. And we enjoy it.
Well, what always cracked me up is when people start calling me the Honey Badger, and it was the folks on the left that did it. I thought, you know, the Honey Badger fights the poisonous pit viper and wins. So I can take that.
Hey, yeah, drags it back to its den. It's nasty, but it has to be done.
I'm sorry?
Just having fun with you, Secretary.
Secretary, what is your website? Where do people find you if they want to help get involved in whatever you may or may not be doing?
Come to scottgessler.com. So scottgessler.com. So contributions are always welcome. And for people who want to volunteer, I think on what's going to be a very dynamic campaign, sign up and help us out there too.